There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along today. And, of course, the phone number, the text line, as always, 343-0106, 343-0106. And in addition, we get several of these a day now. You talk back messages. If you got something to say, you want to hear your voice, if you use the FM Talk 106.5 app, you'll see a microphone icon on the front page. If you'll press that, lets you record what you got to say, and then it sends it right here to the show or other shows here. And we can play it back on the air. So if you got the app and you see that microphone icon, that's what that's all about. But either way, use that or the phone number for the text line or the phone line at 343-0106. All right, I like the fact that we've gotten Veterans Month kicked off early. You know, what starts officially, what I've been doing for, I guess, a decade around here, is we celebrate Veterans Day. But the whole month of November, we celebrate veterans, our local veterans here, and talk to them, get their stories. And we do that all month long. And a reminder, too, well, I have folks I talk to every year, new people every year. If you're listening to me and you've got a friend or a family member, you might be the veteran. You have an idea of wanting to come on the air, talk about your service to our country. I know it's hard for you veterans to do it, but I'm forcing you. Family members, why don't you force them to do it, to come on and talk about it in Veterans Month. Just send me an email, listening to Veteran, and some contact info to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. All right, and we'll get that interview set up. Speaking of which, we started it early here, and this is good because while we have talked to the Veteran of the Year a couple times, our buddy Tom Claxton, this is the first time for me to talk to this year's South Alabama Veterans Commission's Patriot of the Year, and this Veterans Month interview brought to you by On-Site Auto Body Solutions. Y'all say hello to Marine Corps Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia with 37 years of service to our country. Sergeant, thank you. Thanks for being on, and thank you from all of us for your service.
Sean, it's great to join you, and thank you for the invitation.
So, Patriot of the Year, this is, you know, if people didn't, you know, haven't studied this in the past, so we have a Veteran of the Year and a Patriot of the Year. When you heard this, did you hear it coming, or did it surprise you when you got the nomination?
Yeah, well, Sean, one thing a military guy, you know, especially a Marine, doesn't like to be is ambushed. And that's exactly what happened here. I mean, I got to be quite honest. When the Mobile Bay Area Commission alerted me that I was selected for this award, and then I had a chance to review past recipients, senior generals and admirals, an astronaut, Ann Margaret, highly regarded senior politicians, you go, et cetera, et cetera. I really quietly asked myself, how in the world did I ever fit into this distinguished group? And you know, perhaps the commission lowered its eligibility criteria, for crying out loud. But nonetheless, all kidding aside, I'm very, very honored to receive this. You know, and really on behalf of all the other veterans in Southern Alabama, I certainly don't take this on all alone through my own merit, but I'm very, very honored.
Well, and we're excited. And what a Marine thing to say, too, how you took it. Y'all have some similarities in all the Marines that I'm friends with. It's great to hear. But 37 years of service. So I'm going to ask you this question. I've asked this question of World War II veterans that have been on with me to people just home, right, from deployment. Tell me your enlistment story. when you decided to enlist, and then why the Marine Corps?
You kind of cut out on me, Sean.
I was saying, tell me your enlistment story. I asked this of like I said, from people from World War II the whole way to people that just came back in. I always like to get, when we talk to our veterans, your enlistment story. Like when the day you decided that you're going to do this and how that path went for you.
Sure, yeah. You know, it was obviously straight out of high school. College wasn't going to be my pathway. And I remember, I think, when I was probably 15 or 16, my dad saying to me something like, son, you know, you're the real reason why I switched from beer to scotch. And so, you know, those are all indicators that I need to find some direction in my life. I joined with a buddy right after high school, always intending just to do 4 years, get back out and return to New Orleans, where I grew up at. I really liked it. It caught on. It was contagious. I love the Corps and what it offered me. And, you know, of course, all those years, the rest is sort of history as to just opportunities to serve in other billets with that came with promotion and more responsibilities. And, you know, as you think back, you can't help but say, boy, it went really fast. It really did. Although, you know, you say 40 years, it sounds like a long time, and I'm sure it is, but it really went fast.
So what year was it when you enlisted?
1979.
Okay, 79. There was, you know, I think about the situation in our realpolitik now, but in 79 there was a lot going on as well, and specifically that it ended up affecting the Marines.
Yeah, absolutely. If you know, your listeners can recall back then, we were having our country was having a problem with Iran and the Ayatollah. There was a hostage taking that took place, and that was all going on during my senior year of high school. And part of the reason why my friend and I, you know, wanted to join, thinking that we could help contribute in some way of getting our Americans back. And this was on the end, I believe, of Carter's.
Hey, Sergeant Major, you still there? We had lost the connection there. Tell you what we're going to do. And, Lynn, I'm gonna put it on hold. If you want to try to get him back on here and just check if we got a signal and let me know in the studio. It sounds like it's just a cell drop. Maybe we'll get him back through and pick up our conversation. Patriot of the Year, Brian Battaglia. So, and by the way, on Veterans Day, you've got the parade, of course. We were talking about that with Colonel Carey yesterday. But in addition, you'll have the luncheon at Fort Whiting. And when that happens, you've got the honoring of the Patriot of the Year and the Veteran of the Year. And, of course, we've talked many times, and we'll continue to talk with Tom Claxton. But we have on with us right now the Patriot of the Year, Brian Battaglia, Marine Corps Sergeant Major. I'll tell you what, okay. See if you can fix that. We'll go to the news and come right back. More with Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, and glad to continue our interview. I think we've got the Communications Department working here, and we continue our conversation with Marine Corps Sergeant Major, retired Brian Battaglia, 37 years of service. And if I'm right, like most of the veterans I know, it's like they get back and they don't really retire. They just go on a new mission, and it's quite often helping out other veterans out there. Sergeant Major, we were talking before the phone dropped about you enlisting in 1979. It was just, I thought it was interesting because the way the news is today here in 2024 in Iran, that was the news cycle you were seeing as a high school kid in the late 70s.
Yeah, how strange and unique mm-hmm. is that history repeats itself? It's exactly one of the indicators of why I joined when Iran had taken hostages of so many Americans, if you recall, back in that year.
And if you know, we had talked about that earlier this month, too, that it wasn't just a couple years, few years after that, the Marine Corps barracks at the Beirut airport were bombed.
you're exactly right. I believe at one point when it initially happened, I was just there in that same division at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, where the battalion had deployed from. I believe, if memory serves me, I lost 27 friends.
My God.
Who were in that battalion, during that time. And, of course, it was a multinational peacekeeping force. And we just recognized and celebrated that or memorialized that anniversary date again on October 23rd.
So that's the world you're coming into as a young Marine. You've seen that. You went on to serve in the Gulf War and the Iraq War. At that point, you were a mature Marine, right? By the time Gulf War comes around.
Yeah, quite older. And of course, you have many more responsibilities of molding, preparing, training, and equipping those younger Marines that I once was, ready to do the nation's bidding. You don't know what's coming next, although you may have a plan, but our adversaries, our enemies, always get a vote.
Yeah.
And so you just hope and pray, Sean, that you've trained them to the best of your ability and they're able to carry out their mission. And, we all come home together in vertical.
Yeah, for sure. And it takes, I'm sure, a Marine that has seen, what you had seen to talk to those younger Marines and say, this is, pay attention to this, right? This is to keep you alive.
Absolutely. And it's not just Marines. It's, it's all the service branches. Most of those other service branches are in the fray as well and really undergo some high-risk missions and jobs. So, I was just fortunate in the latter part of my career to get into the joint world where my responsibilities grew even more so and had under sort of my oversight and charge different branches of the service. And not just Marines.
Yeah, and you were U.S. Joint Forces Command, right? That was from till 2011. And you served under General Mattis as well, right?
I certainly did.
Okay, yeah. Give me Sergeant Major. Give me a insider's take on what they call Mad Dog Mattis. What was he like to serve with?
Well, he's obviously an exceptional Marine and general officer, and I put it in that priority because he himself would consider himself to be a Marine before he was a general. He's extremely educated, very competent, and troops just love him. He's led units in combat. He had a lot of experience in the Middle East prior to Iraq and Afghanistan taking place, and so I know our country depended on him quite a bit with his leadership and experience to get us through fighting this insurgency. And of course, you know the rest of the story as he went on to take over as Secretary of Defense.
As you look at that leadership, and I think about like the Iraq War and the weight that, and not to take away from other branches that served many of them, but a lot of weight on the Marine Corps, especially, in the surge and it was heavy on the shoulders of the Marine Corps in places like Fallujah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, Sean, even though there were many other units who sort of came through or served on some of that real estate within Fallujah, it was one of many hostile environments. And, we lost men and women there. I think my first year serving there in Fallujah, 269 men and women. The second year decreased significantly, and I believe we only lost 90. And I only say only. I don't say right. That to be, yeah. and so for those who have all returned, both in a flag draped coffin and those that were able to fly home and reunite with their families, it brings Veterans Day to a veteran to be that much more special to me. It does anyway, because you know, Veterans Day sort of recognizes this one day a year as this special fraternity, you know, this brother and sisterhood that I, as a veteran, and I know I speak for many other veterans locally, living or not, that we just have this special bond, even though our service has ended. Of course, you may have heard the old tagline that, you know, our enlistment date has no expiration.
Mm-hmm.
So as we celebrate Veterans Day, even though for the average citizen it only comes once a year, for most of us, Veterans Day is every day.
You know, Sergeant Major, I've seen that. I mean, obviously I knew it, I guess, academically, but over the decades, seen it with my own eyes, with veterans that are friends of mine, several Marines, some Army in the mix as well. And watched, so these guys I know, my friends, they come home and then they just go, I think the mission is important from talking to many veterans, but that mission becomes helping out other veterans. And I mean, I see it. Y'all take it on as a mission. Like you're in a battlefield. You take it on as a mission.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and I don't want to kind of categorize or label a veteran as more special than a young lad or woman who didn't go in the military, but rather went to college and got an education and now is a very productive member of society. And, you know, so why is a veteran much more special than he or she who's making the same sort of contribution? You know, the specialty or the specialness comes from the service and sacrifice that they played, whether they were in actual combat or not, you know, because you got to fit just like a football team, that service member sitting on the bench saying, hey, put me in, coach, put me in. And the time may come where it's time to go. And that's experiences, traumatic or otherwise, that they may be scarred for life, that mm-hmm. impact on the family. And we just feel as fellow veterans, we have the experience and know-how and wherewithal. We can intervene into those veterans who may be in time of need to prevent other catastrophic events from happening and get them back on the right track. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, I was going to say, with that conversation, the ways y'all do that. Yeah, give me, as you talk to people out there, maybe veterans listening to us now that have not reached out for help, or families with veterans that, you know, are concerned for them. How do you bridge that gap? How do you get to that? I mean, y'all are Marines, let alone the other branches. You're not exactly one that goes, hey, I need some help. I mean, how do you breach that?
Sure. You know, you somewhat read between the lines, and you can tell when one is having some issues. It may even be a phone call from a spouse or a child. And, you know, and we're not medical providers, mind you, but know when to, this is outside of our bailiwick, and call a medical provider or someone who can intervene from that perspective. You have to know when it's time to put your ego aside, that you can't solve this problem. It's got to be turned on to somebody else, but there's still a way that you can remain involved, because you don't want it to lead by not recognizing it or turning the other eye mm-hmm. to a catastrophic event like a suicide, which, you know, unfortunately, Alabama suffers one of the worst rates of suicides, military suicides, in the nation. And we got to right size that ship. We really do. So intervention with fellow veterans seems to be a productive modality to initiate them getting further help.
So I've noticed, being just watching groups of veterans talk, I can just sit back as y'all talk your own language, for sure. And it's important to have y'all at the head of the spear once again, right? But in this case, to reach out to fellow veterans. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you this too. What do you enlisting back in 1979, now we're in 2024. What would you tell young people or their parents that are considering the Marine Corps or enlisting in the services overall? What's your, like, your stump speech on that?
I think I would have to hit it from a 30,000-foot view and then delve down, perhaps something like letting the parents know. You know, parents are in this decision-making process with this generation of kids. Mm-hmm. And it's important for parents to know that our country's going to have to maintain an effective and ready-to-respond military that can do its nation's bidding. The deterrence, Sean, doesn't always work. And as I said earlier, adversaries are going to get a vote. So that means that a portion of America's sons and daughters are going to have to serve in the armed forces. The alternative, man, is too costly. And regardless of whether children grow up as a Democrat, Republican, Independent, which I see a lot of out here in the civilian community, there's a learned behavior in the military that politics play no place in a foxhole, a tank turret, even out at sea on a naval aircraft carrier. You learn teamwork in a generic sense more than you do segregation and division. High school grads, man, can find a wonderful skill, trade, career in the armed forces. And you know, back when you and I growing up, a high school diploma was good enough. But today it's not great. A bachelor's degree is looked at by many as a new high school diploma.
Sure.
And so to be successful, yeah, the military can provide that pathway for them.
It's a heck of a message from a man that didn't just talk about it. Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia, Patriot of the Year. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and hopefully you can come back and come on soon, back onto Midday Mobile.
Absolutely, Sean. Thanks again for the invitation. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes, Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia, a part of our Veterans Month right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Big thank you to Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia, Patriot of the Year this year, for joining us. And even though it's still October, we're just getting Veterans Month started a little bit early. If you're new to the show, something I've been doing for years and years and years, interviews with our local veterans all through the month of November. Obviously, the high point being Veterans Day on the 11th, that Monday, and we'll be down there feeding and watering those veterans before the parade starts downtown. But we continue to let them tell their stories here. And now we've had, from when I started this, I had still a few World War II veterans that were with us that came on the show, and we've had those interviews through people who had just gotten back from deployment on the show, and everybody in between. So if you've got somebody in your life, your friend, family member, that veteran you want to honor locally, send me an email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com with their name and contact info, and let's try to get them on the show in the month of November. All right, look up and I see my friend, John Young, Men United Against Violence, and good to see you in studio, my friend.
Always happy to see you. Always happy to see you, Sean. Thank you for having us.
Let's do a little background. If people don't know Men United Against Violence, what's your elevator pitch? What is Men United Against Violence?
We are just simply men who love their city and love their family, and we know that family is the ultimate cure to decrease the senseless gun violence that we've experienced in Mobile. What sparked us, you and I and several other men, mm-hmm. to form, we didn't care about who you vote for, who your favorite football team is. Do you love your family and love your city? And it was 2 years ago, almost three now, next summer, when a 9-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl was shot and killed on Memorial Day weekend. And that's when I don't know if how many people know I was working as a public information officer for the police department. And when I gave the information, I went off script. I still have a job.
It was a viral moment.
I went off script and just shouted down the urban terrorists who are killing these children with little to no remorse. And I asked, when are we going to say that there's a subculture of gun violence involving young black men in Mobile? And it's the truth. I still stand by it. But right. That sparked you and I and mm-hmm. several other people to say, we've been too silent. Mm-hmm. We have to say something about this. And so for the past 2 years, several men across all walks of life, income level, complexions, rearings, men that love their city and love their family said, the best weapon we have is truth. Mm-hmm. And so we've been telling the truth for 2 years now. So that's our mission statement, is to reform the family in an effort to decrease gun violence in Mobile. That's it.
You make it easy for us, too, with acronyms like FEED.
FEED, Family FEED. Education, Employment, and Discipline.
Those things to keep you out of trouble.
Well,
and violence.
And we know historically and statistically that works. Mm-hmm. We know that strong families works in rearing children to pursue an education, to have gainful employment, and be disciplined to do that every day for the remainder of their life, regardless of their age or circumstance. We know it works. And so that's why we encourage it. We encourage, and we start with men, Sean. We always start with you and I and us. Mm-hmm. When we realized that we had been too silent, too long, and complacent, sure, which made us complicit, we said, no, we're not going to be silent anymore. And I have been given the oratory skills, the gift from God, to speak very clearly and succinctly to different people. But there are many men who stand behind me, like you, mm-hmm, Mike Timms and Carlos. There are several men who don't look like me who say, J.Y., we're with you. And that brings us to this fall campaign, Sean. The last time I was here, you and I talked. What can we do next? You said, we need to put these little children's names on a billboard and make everybody remember them.
See them. See those names.
See those names. This was your idea. So, and I called them, sent messages to the mothers to let them know we'll be on. So I want them to hear from you that you care about their children just as much as everyone else, as we do. But Sean, these aren't the names we're reciting.
No. These aren't the names. Exactly. These aren't the names. Why these names and the names that get ensconced in the conversation are not the names of the innocent people,
right,
children,
right,
being children,
right,
who were murdered.
Murdered.
And I use that word with my whole heart.
Well, God said, thou shalt not kill. He didn't say it's okay if you black people kill black people. He didn't say that it's okay if you're poor. He did not say it's okay if you are misunderstood. He said, don't do it. But when these black children are killed, no one says anything. Listen, I didn't mean, I told Leanne before I came in, I'm going to be calm, but I'm not any longer. You've made an international incident out of a lifelong criminal, built statues to a lifelong criminal, mm-hmm, billions of dollars to donations, burned down cities, took over governments, changed the complexions of many areas, and these children's lives are just forgotten? Why don't we have a memorial somewhere downtown?
Why don't their black lives matter?
Right! Why don't we have a memorial downtown and put the name of every black child killed in Mobile?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we so shy of that? In the past 2 years, 11 juvenile black children were murdered in Mobile.
Murdered.
Seven in 2022. Seven!
Babies, y'all.
Babies. So don't talk. When J.Y. says these things and when Sean is agreeing with me, we're not the issue. You can't call us a liar.
Mm-mm.
You can't say that these children's name don't deserve to be remembered. The billboard is not enough, but it is to strike the conscience for two reasons. Let's stop being hypocritical in who we want to change laws for.
Mm-hmm.
Criminalize teenagers selling drugs and pointing guns at police, or drug addicts who resist arrest and have heart attacks because they've overdosed. Let's not be hypocritical in who we make martyrs of. A child hasn't done anything to anyone to deserve to be shot and killed on their couch.
Correct.
An 11-year-old boy, 14-year-old girl, 17-year-old, they've done nothing to no one to deserve to be shot.
Yep.
These are true innocent. Their blood screams from the ground for memorializing. But here we have
so many people. And people don't know their names.
No one knows their names because there's no money in these names.
There it is.
There's no money. They're not going to send billions of dollars. These families deserve hundreds of millions out of those billions of dollars that were sent to these alphabet organizations that are standing on principles based on witchcraft. Did they call these mothers and say, hey, we're going to give you money for a house and take care? We don't know what the talent these children would have been given by God, what problems they could have solved, cut down. In this city, suspects are black
men.
Our home.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm mad about it. Because if we don't get mad, Sean, who will? Listen, folks. I've gone off maybe once or twice. Sean has probably heard me lose my temper. But isn't this worthy of me losing my temper? Shouldn't we all be angry?
We all should lose our temper. Right? That's the thing that brought you and I together. We should all lose our temper. When there are children, when it becomes almost a routine news story that a child is shot. And y'all say that out loud. It's routine that a child is shot. I'm not gonna let my city be that. I'm gonna do everything I can for it not to be.
And the first thing we have to do is tell the truth.
Yep.
And we cannot continue making excuses for immorality, violent behavior, because
this is what it gets you.
This is where it leads to. These innocent children who have done nothing have died because of some violent, uncontrollable urban terrorist has decided that he can't leave something alone or walk away. He has to use a firearm and shoot into a house or shoot into a car. And remember, this little girl was in a car driving looking for a house, 14 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. Nothing. They were teenage girls doing what teenage girls do.
That's right.
And came in and were shot down and killed on Michael Donald Avenue.
The irony of that, huh?
Where the black man was lynched by the Ku Klux Klan, and a black man shot into this girl's car, killed her. And messed up mentally the other two young ladies. They'll never be the same. Could you imagine that being 15, 16 years old watching your friend die? Listen, Mobile, listen. If I'm saying something wrong, fine. Drew and I go eat lunch, and if you see us, you sit down and tell us this is why we're wrong. We can accept that. We would love to have that debate. But I dare anyone to give a logical conclusion why these children's lives should be forgotten, ignored, overlooked. I dare anyone to give me a logical conclusion that would justify the urban terrorists who are shooting rampantly, randomly, wherever they are. The mall?
Yeah.
You have so little control.
Inside their grandmother's house?
Right.
I mean...
And that's why we're mad, Mobile. That's why we're mad. We want a plaque. We want a memorial built up. We want people protesting justice for these kids, for LaQuentin. We want justice for Ahmad. We want justice for all of these children.
And I think if we look at what will, and we'll talk about this when we come back from the break, if people can see these names and see their ages, that may take them from the, well, I don't know what to do, I don't know what could be done, to, damn it, I'm going to do something.
Amon, 17, Jacoby, 16, Kaylee, 9, LaQuentin, 11, Sierra, 14.
Yeah.
What were we doing at those ages, right?
Yeah, none of us were getting shot.
Right.
So what has changed? So we'll talk about that when we get back and how we continue to make that change.
But
the billboard, we're talking about where you can see the billboard and see these names up and remember these children and their families.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along, and always good, like I said, to see my buddy John Young. And then you said Drew Forward three times, and when you say his name three times, there's Drew.
He shows up.
I'm here.
You just say his name, and he's there. You know, we're talking about the billboard. The billboard's up now.
Right.
Tell people where to see it.
Susan at Lamar Science did a great job. They got it up for
Thank
us.
Thank you, Lamar.
Oh, good grief. They've been so helpful to us. At 3106 Moffitt Road, right at the split from Spring Hill Avenue. It's in front of the church, and I think it's a blood plasma center there now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's up until the end of November. And, Sean, we want to attract attention to these children's name, but we want people to go by, take a picture of it, and post it to their Facebook page, right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Go to Men United Against Violence on our Facebook, post it, and let's remember these children's names, Drew.
Yes, and, you know, it's important that we do remember these kids because these are the real victims of the violence that occurs here, you know, and that's something that we've got to change, right? You know, a lot of times we glorify people who are criminals or whatever. You know what? These are actually innocent people.
Yeah, why do we know the bad guys' names and we don't know the children's names?
Because the media glorifies it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they put it all out, all over the airwaves, all over the country. You know, when you have an incident where, you know, maybe someone runs into the police, they you know, have some terrible incident where a person ends up being hurt or killed, right? But it's always the fault of the authorities and not the fault of the person that actually committed the crime, right? Well, these people, these kids, they didn't commit any crimes.
Right.
They're innocent.
This is true innocence.
absolutely innocent.
And they're babies taken from their moms and dads.
Correct.
But and then we'll legislate for months. Like I said, there was a social upheaval several years ago that had international implications, but these children's lives don't last in the mouths or the media for 2 months. There aren't any politicians cheering for it. And I'll have to commend Barbara State Representative Barbara Drummond for saying that she wanted Class A felonies to carry no bonds, shooting into, but she was shouted down by other black politicians. Why was she shouted down? Because it disproportionately affects black people and that makes it risky.
You know what disproportionately affects black people is the name of these children on this.
Right.
Every one of them
is black.
If y'all don't know, like I'm a white guy, John and Drew are black.
And I still don't believe it. I haven't.
But the point is, the children that are dead.
Right.
You want to talk about affecting what these children are? Black children that are dead.
Right.
Taken as children, as babies.
And why don't they deserve more consideration than the offenders? We want to change state laws, city laws, national laws for offenders to protect offenders.
To keep them out of prison.
To keep them out of prison. But these black children are dying in Mobile, Birmingham, Montgomery, Dothan, Chicago, Baltimore, New York.
And there's no coming back from the graveyard, right?
There's not. No.
There's no coming back from that.
They will never have that child again. I was looking at somebody text here. Adam said this. He said to Sean and Drew and JY, in addition to a billboard, what about building a monument wall, like you mentioned earlier, to display the names and have a – I like this too – and have a ceremony each time another name is added.
That's right.
So here we go again.
Yeah.
And we have the ceremony, and here's another name added to that wall.
If an out-of-town lawyer can come and stand in front of a courthouse and talk about how the disparity and racial injustice and how we have to stick up for people, shouldn't we do the same thing for these babies?
No, shouldn't we should do more.
Our local politicians should read the names and give unlimited time to speak at council meetings to these family members?
Yep.
Shouldn't? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we around here raising memorial fund and painting streets different colors with these kids' names on it? And how about that? Why don't we do that, Drew? Because there's no money in it. Because they can't sue these urban terrorists. They don't have jobs. They can't. They don't want to donate billions of dollars.
So it's not about, when y'all look at this, and I mean, when you see this happening, it's not about the value of the human being to society. It's a dollar sign, because I would argue that children that are innocent, that are taken, are way more lost to society than, and you know, I don't use their names, dirtbags, you know.
Who right. Are, listen, Drew, you're gonna have to come in calm, because I'm angry right now, because they've made merchandise of black people. Mm-hmm. They made our heroes be junkies and women on stage flopping their twop waffle. They aren't looking at God-fearing, holy men. These children deserve to be remembered. They'll challenge in court and stand up and wear T-shirts with, I can't breathe. But what about these babies? I'm not alive. Somebody remember these babies'
names. Yeah, I'm not alive.
Names.
How about that?
And Sean, when I contacted these mothers, they were saying thank you to you. When we have our rally, I told you they're going to hug your neck, because they feel like these children are forgotten, Drew. And they have been forgotten by the very people that should remember them. These pastors and these preachers are standing in their pulpits grieving for junkies, grieving for criminals. But they'll hold a funeral one day for that little girl and never mention her name again.
Won't come back up.
They're all a bunch of hypocrites. They're all a bunch of liars and false prophets. And we better start calling them out.
You've got to, and that's, you know, that's what you did 2 years ago. You said, "Let's, we got to address what's going on here. We can sit and dance around this, or we can talk about what's happening and how these children ended up dead." And this is, you know, this is it. And I want y'all to look at this billboard, and do take the picture and share it on Facebook, because I want everybody to see their names.
That's right.
And know that there are way more names, but these are the names we have up. See their names.
And this is just the past 2 years.
The past 2 years, Drew.
Yes, yes.
There were 11 total. We could only get in. We only used the names of consenting adults. We contacted them and made sure that they were on board with it. So the there are 11, and these are the five that we could get in contact with. There are more, Mobile.
Correct.
There are more. These
there are
more.
Yeah, yeah. There are many more. And the thing is, it's an ongoing issue. So this is something that we've got to get a handle on. We've got to stop this violence, and we've got to protect innocent people and not worry about.
Correct.
And this is how. This is how you can gauge it.
Your job, both of y'all, and your other job, is to protect and serve.
Right.
Protect and serve the law-abiding citizens.
Correct.
That is the job.
That's exactly what it is.
That's society. That's how you have civilization.
Protect
the innocent people.
And this is what I ask. For every minute that they gave, any media outlet gave to a national story giving the exact same time to these innocent children. Mm-hmm. To every dollar donated to a national alphabet organization or cause, call up these mothers and see what they need a year after their babies are gone. These mothers told me, I still miss my baby.
I'm gonna fall apart when I meet them because I can't imagine. You know, as a father, I just cannot imagine what they've gone through.
The telephone calls, I had to make them sparingly because it was hard calling. I have such a harsh tone. But trying to convey to them, we didn't make any money off this.
No.
We didn't ask them for a dime. Thankful to guys like you and Pitt, Trip Pitt and Neudrolics, those guys have donated money for us to do this. We're not making any money off this. This is because we want these children memorialized. And if Black Lives Matter and any other alphabet is out there listening to it, build a memorial to these children. Build a memorial, ask for legislation to be changed in these children's names to protect their lives. Go get the Glock switch outlawed. Make it a state felony. Make it no bond on shooting into, Drew.
Thank you.
Do those things. How about that? Do some real change instead of always blaming, well, racism, oh, it's the police, it's everybody's fault but the urban terrorist? You don't want to blame the shooter anymore?
I do.
My God, what happened to our society?
I don't know how we've been drifting here for 20 years. You know, I've talked about it. And this is where it's gotten us. And for people to say, let's do more of that. You know, if you're going the wrong way, eventually you say, you turn around and go back and go on the other route that was the right way.
That's it. That's it. And you know something, Sean? I don't know why it is that we just can't support one another, right? Like law-abiding citizens. Mm-hmm. Let's all just come together and do what we need to do in order to make the changes around here in Mobile that need to be made, right? You know, it's very hard for me to look at these children. I remember we were talking about it. You know, just what was it? When they shot into the vehicle on the interstate, and there was a 9-year-old boy in there, and he had been shot twice at 9 years old.
Yo, he had been not in that one incident. He had been shot previously.
During a previous incident.
Shot again. 9 years old. What were you doing at 9 years old? I didn't have two slugs in me, did you?
No. Absolutely not. But
Jesus.
Those are the types of things that we want to prevent. That's what we want to stop, right?
And you put these shooters in jail and you keep them there. We had a board of directors dinner last night with Craig Jennings and Drew and myself. And Craig says, well, what can we do? And we said, just keep telling the truth. It's reciprocity at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can do is keep screaming it from the hilltops, Drew.
Let's put the shooters in jail.
Put them in jail.
And protect innocent people.
Can we
simple.
Can y'all hang out for just another second? Like, I got to go to the news.
I don't know how much anger I have left, but I'll find some because this is easy to be angry about.
Coming right back.